folks, and welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Ken Copeland speaking to you live. I got back in from Missouri, had a great meeting. It's now the 13th of January, my granddaughter's first birthday. Well, second granddaughter's first birthday. Anyway, and mine's coming up in 2 days here, Jonathan. I'm getting old.
2 days.
51.
No, that's your birthday. No,
that's my granddaughter's birthday for me. Steady race to the grave. I'm winning. Not way ahead, right?
Just a few years, 31 years ahead of me.
I'm not all that old, I just have a lot of miles on me, you know. I mean, a lot of miles. It's good to have Dan with us this week. When is Dan ready? Dan Brayton have to come on the program here. You ready, Dan? Yeah, come on the program, okay. Got to teach you what to do in public schools. He was a public school administrator for 11 years, a science teacher for 5, 6 years before that, or 5 years, okay. 16 years experience in the public school. And he's working on some stuff for our ministry to help kids in public school. And teachers and parents and administrators, be a booklet series and a lot of interesting stuff coming soon. Thanks for a picture and Creation Science Evangelism Ministry. Okay, let me catch up on the skinny version here. My name is Ken Hovind, and I taught high school science for 15 years. And now for 15 years, I've been an evangelist doing seminars on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Our position here is very simple. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. We think that the evolution theory that's taught in our textbooks is one of the dumbest and most dangerous ideas in the history of humanity. It didn't happen. You were created in God's image, and you're going to stand before God, whether you like it or not, and be judged for everything you ever said or done or thought about saying or doing. And that's a scary thing, because God sees it all and knows it all and keeps good records. So we recommend you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him pay for your sins. Don't go to God sticking your chest out and say, you better let me into heaven, I'm pretty good. He, first place, it's not true. Okay? And if you were, it wouldn't be good enough. I recommend you let Jesus pay for your sins. He will take the judgment, and it's wonderful. I did that 35 years ago. If you want to be on the program, you're welcome to call in. And in the program, we take calls first, and secondarily, we take AOL Instant Message. And thirdly, we take the radio questions that have been sent to us via email, air mail, snail mail, etc. Our screen name on AOL is Dr. Dino Live, D-R-R-D-I-N-O. And Jonathan, you did the whole program yesterday by yourself.
Did the whole program and just about broke my throat hole, if you can do that.
You are.
Yeah, I have profound respect for you and what you do in speaking 6 hours a day and so forth. So
I spoke a little over 800 times last year, about an hour every time.
Spoke one time yesterday, and nothing was enough for me for this month.
No, come on, Jonathan. Well, yeah, when they find that you find my skull, they're going to think I was a woman because the jawbone's going to be worn out for you. Okay, here, I read a few testimonies been sent to us. Oh, John, I got the coolest one. Testimony. Maybe I read that already. Just one line. The guy said, you're an idiot. Something about that. We got to put that one. We got to include that.
There are several testimonies like that. We actually get a few every month that we read them during the devotionals. And they're pretty funny, pretty entertaining.
One, who was the preacher? John R. Rice, or some great preacher years ago, he said, you know, he got a letter. All it said was, fool. You know? He said, you know, I get a lot of anonymous mail. They write a letter and I'll sign their name. This guy only signed his name. I didn't write the letter. That's pretty cute. Okay, let's see. No, I don't see it now. But it was good. I remember that. I said, we got to include this one.
They can go on the website, www.drdino.com, and read some of the testimonies that we have on there. We do post all the positive as well as the negative ones, so they can see the education level, the intelligence level of these people.
Here we go, from Dean Watson, who writes in. Dean, if you're listening, hey, we're glad you're at least listening, okay? You're welcome to call in and be on the program. Call 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466. Or if you want to pay for the call, 850-479-DINO. 877 is the toll-free line. Okay, Dean writes in, do you know how stupid you sound? You deliberately distort the scientific method to fit your own delusions. You disgust me. Wow. Guess we rang this bell, didn't we?
It's working.
It's working. Wow, Dean, that's what we're trying to do. So he succeeded.
Not necessarily trying to make people mad, but, you know, that's something that's going to happen whenever you get out there and force them to swimming in someone's eyes.
Well, anytime you challenge somebody's worldview, like yesterday, Dan was with me. We spoke in two public schools, And you can tell by the questions the kids are asking that their whole worldview has been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can just all of a sudden accept creation, because along with that comes a creator. And then we got four mics, Dan. If you want to join us, just come on in. So you're busy enough for that. Okay. It's like, man, this one's going to change my whole life. You know, there's a creator. I mean, I can't just do what I want.
Yeah, even whenever they see how frail and weak their worldview is, they still hold on to it with this kung fu grip. It's their last breath. You know, when they just let go, they could experience, you know, so much more salvation, you know, heaven, everything. It's all just like that. They would just let go of it.
And it's wonderful.
But they have a kung fu grip on there, like, you know, Jackie Chan or something.
Yeah. Okay, here's a testimony from Scott Bell. He's related to Martin Bell. I've been on his program a couple times. I need to get back on there.
Thank God. Last guy was Watson. Like Watson and Crick. You know, with the DNA and so forth.
You've got something there.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
A pattern. Okay, I've got a pattern emerging here. Okay, Scott Bell writes in. Our group of blessings to you and your family. I just recently viewed your 7-tape series on creation evolution, which was given to us by a friend. Very compelling and great information. Thank you. Also, I just read your article on the Baptist and the Amish, and I can't agree with you more. Is that on the website, Jonathan? The Baptist and the Amish?
Yeah, it's right on the articles.
Articles, okay, one of the articles. That's just one of those things I just wrote at 2 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep, you know, because I had just spoken at an Amish school, and some of the kids had blue clothes, some had black clothes, some had buttons, some had zippers, some had hooks and loops, you know. So I started just asking questions, you know. I just did a comparison between the Baptist, which I am, independent, temperamental, fundamental, right-wing, radical, chicken-eating Baptist, and the Amish. And it's an interesting article. It just kind of came to me. I learned if you eat a lot of pizza before you go to bed, you get really cool ideas about 2 in the morning. You know, that's where I get most of my inspiration. Okay, anyway, he says, I read the article about Baptists and the Amish. I can't agree with you more. Let me state, I am not a Baptist. I have attended most of all the major denominational churches at one time or another, and currently go to a non-denominational Pentecostal church. So some are of our views on spiritual life, some of our O-U-R-A-R-E, A-R-E for R. Who are you? Scott. Yeah. Some of our views, I'm sorry about that, Scott. You do have it spelled wrong. On spiritual life are different. But the main thing is that the main thing remain the main thing. That is, Jesus came born of a virgin, the Son of God is in the flesh, gave up his physical life so we might have eternal life. Amen. Under his mercy, Scott. Well, Scott, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I agree. That's the main thing. But once you get all the minor things put together, you're going to end up being a Baptist, too. Okay. Here's one of the frowny faces. Diane Fritchie, F-R-I-T-C-H-I-E, writes in. You guys are not about science or religion. You guys are about money. You keep your unwitting clients / supporters in the dark about science and religion so you can sell them the drivel about a young earth, special creation, Noah's flood, the Bible, small b, as you interpret it, and so forth without any evidence. You characters take quotes out of context and deceive young people with your comic books. Ignore the evidence unless it suits your cause by distortion. Claim someone is picking on you to get the public's sympathy. Fail to publish in scientific journals for peer review. Do sensational contortions of the facts to make the evidence fit into your interpretation or theory of the Bible. All to sell your books, tracts, and to beg for money from the religious community, and to otherwise bilk to the public. You're banking on their ignorance so you can sell your snake oil and get rich. You are the ultimate hucksters. You should be ashamed. You are criminals. You need to repent of your sins and pray that God opens your eyes and doesn't cast you into the lake of fire. And you call yourselves Christians. I wonder what Jesus thinks of your distortions. But you know what? I don't think you believe any of the rubbish you're trying to trick the public with. He just wants to take advantage of people's ignorance. Dwayne. Well, Dwayne?
I would ask Dwayne if he really thinks that we're going to put money, come up here and look at what I drive.
There you go. Well, Dwayne, let me tell you our financial policy here. Not that it's any of your business and not that you care. I started this ministry in my house 15 years ago. Okay? It is still in my house. Although we've had 10 offices in my house. My wife hasn't had a house in 15 years, okay? We just moved some out of this building right now. And there's only, how many offices in there now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. Huh? More? house over there, my den under. Dwayne, our policy for 15 years since I started this ministry has been, I do not charge anything for my seminars. I do not copyright my materials. Anybody is welcome to buy my material, copy it, and send it back, and get their money back. Dwayne, you show me any evolutionist that has that same policy, and I will apologize publicly on the air profusely. There's just, they don't. Talk about in for the money. Go to the local universities and see how much government money they get to spread their dribble of evolution. Here they are taking tax dollars to spread their lies about evolution, to teaching things in the textbooks that have been proven wrong years ago. They keep them in the books just to get the money out of the public. Talk about the suckers, Dwayne. I think they're on the wrong side of the stick on this one. So, anyway, glad you at least watched some of our material. And we're glad you got animated by it. That's step one. Sometimes you got to get mad before you get glad. So, hang in there, Dwayne. Keep climbing the mountain of truth, and you'll find we're sitting on top already. Okay, here's another one from EBBE. I have never met a name like that. How would you pronounce that? EBBE. EB? Heavy? Fredericksburg Peterson with Norwegian name. EB. Writes, hi. I do not have any questions at this time, but I just wanted to say keep up the good work. You have really learned a lot from you. I really learned a lot from you, Dr. Holbert. And I haven't seen, even finished watching all your seminars. I have just finished seminar one and two. And tomorrow, if I have spare time, I will continue seeing them all. So if you could think that your, apparently this is, English is not his first language here, folks, I'm trying to understand the writing. So if you could think that your work at any time does not help people, well, I can only say that it has helped me a lot already. So you will be hearing from me later on. By the way, if you wonder why I have a bit funny name, well, first of all, I ain't from USA. But if you have heard of Ireland and Norway, you're probably, which you have probably heard of or been to, it is a land called the Faroe Islands. You have probably never heard of it, but it's there. Look it up if you want. Thanks for your time. Give them a good word. God bless. E.B. Fredericksburg Peterson. E.B. I've never been to the Faroe Islands, but I do know where they are, actually. I always loved geography as a kid and did really well at it and actually studied math quite a bit even today. So, yes, I have been to a lot of places that haven't been to the Faroe Islands, but I'm glad you enjoyed our show. Okay, folks, we're going to take some questions that have been sent to us by AOL Instant Message first, or telephone. You're on the wires, John. Is there somebody on the phone? There we're not. But Derek's got to come do the wiring. It doesn't happen automatically. Over just millions of years, the wires don't work. So whoever's on the phone, hang in there. The technical guys are working on it. Not the two ends on that thing, you know. Yeah, that's the way they work those things, you know. Okay, let me take a few more while we wait for the phone call. This is from Joseph Schroeder, who writes in, Dr. Roman, Mr. Roman, what are some biblical and scientific proofs showing that all the continents we see together today used to fit together before the flood? It's a Christian type of Pangea theory, Joseph. Well, Joseph, I would start off by saying, I don't believe in the Pangea theory, so I wouldn't try to prove it. I think the shapes of the continents is absolutely a pure coincidence based on the water level. The Earth has a solid crust right now, today. If you take the water out of the oceans, there is dirt underneath. So the Pangea theory, I think, is a desperate attempt to try to prove that this billions of years old, was all kinds, cover that video number six, there's all kinds of faulty logic involved, I think, in the Pangea theory. They twisted Africa one way and twisted South America another way to make them fit. Hang on, oh, far corner there, Derek. Break time. Okay, we'll come back after the break. That's a caller. Hang in there. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. And who's online, gentlemen? Ben, on line one. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi, Dr. Roman. How you doing?
Doing great.
I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. Okay. I'm a student at the University of Nebraska in Omaha. And found out about a professor who's a staunch, strict evolutionist.
We can fix that.
And I asked him if he'd be interested in a debate with you. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to read his reply here.
Okay. discovered that they lose every debate, is what they discovered. That's why they don't want to do it. I've been turned down over 3,000 times, people refusing to debate me, okay?
Yep.
And they've always got a dumb excuse like that. Look, if I'm just an ignorant religious fundamentalist, and he's really right scientifically, then he should demolish my arguments in front of everybody, because I'm speaking to probably, I don't know, maybe over a million people a year on this topic, having a powerful influence on the world for the creation cause, and it behooves him to shut me up if I'm wrong and he's right. So that is, I totally disagree that the debates are only for, you know, they're not shows. I'll do it at his university against his entire science faculty, all of them, against me, on two conditions. I get half the time, and we talk about one topic at a time. So go ahead, next sentence.
Okay. You can add, I'll give you his name at the end of the email, and you can add him to your list there.
Yeah, okay, John. Right there, John. Add him to our list when he gets it. Go ahead.
Okay. This stuff is not for debate. If that is for foolish types who think that science and religion are settled by debate.
Okay, stop right there. What he's trying to do, he's trying to assume that evolution is part of science. Evolution is a religion. It's mixed in with science. But it's not a science. There's no scientific evidence that says a dog came from a non-dog. Now, if he wants to believe that, that's fine, but that's his religion. It's not science. So they do this all the time. They start with the assumption that evolution is part of science, and just don't you dare question that. You know, that is absolutely ridiculous. I agree that creation is religious, but I would also like him to admit that evolution is religious, which is all it is. He believes dog came from a rock. He doesn't know that. Anyway, go ahead.
Scientific facts are what count.
I agree. Now, I covered my videotape number 4 about 30 lies in the textbooks that are used to support the evolution theory. There are no scientific facts to support the theory of evolution. If he thinks there are some, I will pay him $250,000 if he can prove the evolution theory. If he thinks it's really science, then prove it. Simple. On my website, I've been there for 12 years, I think. Go ahead.
Rather, we should talk about intellectual honesty.
Oh, I agree. I would stop right there. That's why I cover for 3 hours the lies in the textbooks. It was proven in the textbooks today, including the ones at the University of Omaha, are teaching that the embryo growing inside the mother has gill slits. That was proven wrong in 1875. Let's talk about intellectual honesty. Why would they keep a lie in their textbook that's been proven wrong 128 years ago? The textbooks at Omaha State University are teaching the kids the whale has a vestigial pelvis, but it's a lie. It's part of the whale's reproductive system. They're teaching the tailbone on a human is vestigial. It's proof for evolution. That's a lie. You tell him, I will pay to have his removed if he thinks it's vestigial. They're talking about intellectual honesty. This guy needs help, okay? He's not intellectually honest if he's using any of the evidences I've covered in my video 4 to support the evolution theory. Anyway, go ahead.
I totally agree with you. Okay, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist also, and this next sentence is very offending to me.
Okay.
If Dr. Hovind wants to lecture why religious fundamentalists and other young earth creationists want to fly planes into tall buildings.
Okay, well, I've never flown a plane into a building. What he's doing here is guilt by association. This is a logical fallacy, okay? I can point out that, you know, he believes in evolution. Adolf Hitler believed in evolution. So,
right.
So he goes around killing millions of people. It's a logical fallacy. Okay, so he's wrong. He's right. They use the word fundamentalist as if it's a bad word to believe the fundamentals of the Bible.
Right.
It's true there are Islamic fundamentalists. I don't know how they got that name, fundamentalist. Okay, but they're not related to me, trust me. Go ahead.
Okay, you might get an audience that would really be to participate with. Otherwise, such debates are the finest kinds of remedy promoted by the religiously naive and poorly educated at that.
Wait. Poorly educated. I get this all the time. They'll say, you Christians are poorly educated, you're dumb. First place, Jesus' disciples were accused of being ignorant and unlearned men. And they turned the whole world upside down, okay? It is true that God often uses the uneducated or the undereducated, okay? Because people often with that have higher IQs tend to get real proud and cocky, and God can't use them for some reason. But there are literally thousands of extremely intelligent people who are creationists. All of the branches of science were charted by creationists. You can't name one thing that the evolution theory has done for the advancement of science. That's not why we have space shuttles. That's not why we have computers. The evolution theory, even if it were true, is absolutely useless scientifically. Go ahead.
Okay. Find another dupe. Thank you very much. Furthermore, I have just
university does not mean it is a store-bought degree. Jonathan, you have a list of how many pages of non-accredited universities? For years, I think it's changed in the last 20 years, but for many years, Harvard, Princeton, and Yale were not accredited.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
How many of these, I couldn't hear, Jonathan, how many of these there were?
There were, if you go to Michigan.gov.
Can you hear him now?
No, I can't.
Okay, you're not going through the system somehow, Jonathan. You may be talking in your mind. Michigan.gov, is that it?
Oh.
Yeah. You got turned up.
Yeah.
There you go. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you go to Michigan.gov, they have a list, about 25 to 30 pages. I think there was anywhere from 30 to 50 colleges on each page.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of these.
His logic is, because it's not accredited, therefore it's a diploma mill. Now, there probably are diploma mills where you can send them $20 and they send you a doctor's degree. I don't know, I don't argue that. There probably are. Patriot University is not one. I worked 9 years for my degree. If he doesn't like it, then call me Bubba or Kent or AU. But let's get on to the topic, okay? But I resent somebody saying it's a diploma mill and I bought it. He's lying. I did not. Go ahead.
Unless the creationists can do better than that, you might agree with me. They really are the irrelevant fools without very much real education than what we thought they were.
Well, then why doesn't he take to do a debate and demolish me in 3 minutes? This is like a little, 90-pound weekend walking up and saying, oh, Muhammad Ali is a winner. I can whoop him any day. Okay. Well, then go do it. System that we so wisely developed was based on Christian education, started in churches. All but one of the founding universities of this entire country were Christian universities. The atheists came in and took over like a leech. They don't ever do anything on earth. They suck the blood out of something else. So it's the atheists and the skeptics and scoffers that have taken over the universities. They didn't start them. They didn't start any hospitals. They don't start anything. They take over what the Christians start. So he's mistaken or lying about that one. Go ahead.
Okay, we need a great deal better than this. We are to have a prayer of defeating the other lunatic fundamentalists, nihilists, Islamic, Hindu, Jewish, to join with the Christian Looney Tunes to drag us all down.
I must stand, as I would stand my ground, that all of the branches of science were started by Christians and creationists. You can't find hardly any advancements in science from countries that are non-Christian. For instance, the Hindu population in India is probably, triple what the United States is.
Yeah.
What have they done? For the advancement of modern man. Nothing. So he's got a totally backwards. I'm sure he was taught this by some professor somewhere and he believed it. He got suckered in. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. But I'm real sorry to hear that I'm paying his salary to teach the next generation of kids this stuff.
I have to go to school with you.
Well, you tell him I'll take on the whole science department at the same time and they can make a complete fool out of me in front of everybody else.
Well, I found an email and there's a couple other. By the way, the Senate name is Dr. John Schroeder. The last name is spelled S-H-R-O-D-E-R.
Okay, Dr. John Schroeder, and what does he teach?
And he's a professor of geology.
Geology, okay.
So I know he teaches a historical geology class, and I heard from someone else who took the class that his first day in class, he hands out a list of 25 reasons why creationists are stupid, and he just tells people if you're a creationist, you don't even want you in the class.
Well, that's called religious discrimination. I think you should go to his class, and if he says something like that, get it on tape,
yeah.
And then sue him and have him fired. I'm serious. Guys like that need to get a job digging ditches.
If you listen to the way he formulated his email and the words that he used and the tone that he composed it in, and you look at what he's done in class, these 25 reasons why creationists are stupid, it's obvious that this goes far beyond a professional level. If it sounds like a personal thing he has against the Bible or Christians or God, it's not that it's unprofessional to, have his debate.
Yeah, it's a personal vendetta, you're right. It may be that he was raised with Christian principles and rebelled against, probably that thou shalt not commit adultery.
It does sound like that.
That's usually the one that gets them. And then they've got to find a way to justify their lifestyle.
The only way to do that is with evolution.
Sure. The only way to do that. So far, the Bible says in 2 Peter, the scoffers will scoff because of their lust. 2 Peter chapter 3. The reason they scoff is because of their lust. I would be willing to bet money that he has a problem with adultery or pornography or X-rated movies or something.
Yeah.
In his own personal life, I mean, never met the guy. I would be willing to put my hand back because we've cut Second Peter. Okay.
That's all I've got. I listen to your radio program at work. I download the old archives.
Okay.
Our radio program. So I just want to thank you guys for doing that so I can be able to listen to them up here in Omaha.
You tell Dr. Schroeder to get this program January 13th, 2004. Here's my open challenge, Dr. Schroeder. I'm a very nice guy. I'm a very patient man. I have an IQ over 160. I'm not an ignorant fool. I have a doctor's degree from a non-accredited university. I taught science for 15 years, or science, biology, and physical science. I will debate you on your field, geology, on your turf, your university, with all the assistance you want to have. It could be 20 against one. I don't care. But two conditions. I get half the time, and we talk about one topic at a time. I don't want them given 30 topics and I have time to answer two. It sounds like I didn't have an answer for the rest that way. Is that fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, John, tell me to watch this program. Let's listen to this program, okay?
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, if you want to call in about the program, 877-479-3466. And if you call a professor or contact them and they won't debate, hey, let us have their name. We'll add it to our website. We are producing a series of videos and books here and articles for our website. It may be a few months till we get done, but it's going to be a series of things that Dan Woods and I have been brainstorming here for the last few days. One of them can start off with probably help of a public school student. And what do I do? We're going to go through the legal aspects, what do you do in the classroom when situations come up. Then we're going to have one help of a public school teacher, because a lot of the teachers feel frustrated by what's going on. You know, they want to do us right, and they feel like their hands are tied. We're going to have another one, help, I'm a public school administrator. Or help, my kid goes to public school. Those are probably the four we're going to work on first. And try to get information in your hands that will really help give you the ammunition to fight with. Better yet, you may want to come to our Southeast Creation Conference coming up September 17, 18, and 19. We're going to call it the Creation Boot Camp. If you want to come, get armed and dangerous. We want our people to leave armed and dangerous from our Creation Boot Camp, September 17, 18, and 19. We'd love to have you. We're going to have some great speakers. Dr. Carl Ball from Glen Rose, Texas is going to be here. Dr. Dennis Swift from the Beavers in Oregon will be here. He's an expert on the Inca stones from Peru. It's only $50 for the conference, and that includes 16 audio tapes in a binder of all the sessions, even the ones you can't go to, since some will be going simultaneously at the workshops. We're going to tape them all and stick them all in the binder, and you get a free meal at Dinosaur Adventureland, a 2.5-hour tour of our amazing facilities here, Dinosaur Adventureland, right here in Pensacola, Florida, again, in my backyard. So those people think I'm in this for the money. You got 27,000 people come visit your house in the next 2 years and see how your wife likes it, okay? In it for the money. Jonathan, how on earth did they get that idea? They got to be desperate to make that claim. They don't know me. I haven't had a salary for 14 years, okay? Ministry gives me a house and buys my groceries, and I don't own a car. I don't own a thing. Here we go. Here's an AOL instant message. Optimus Prime 3002. There's an email name, or what do they call this?
Screen name.
Okay. Optimus Prime 3002. 3002 is not a prime number, by the way. You may want to change that. 3001, maybe. I'd have to do some work on that. Anyway, who cares? Okay. Hello, Dr. Owen. My question is, I was watching the John Ankerberg show last Sunday, and they had Hugh Ross on, and the topic was Big Bang Proves the Existence of God. I've heard you say that the Big Bang is false, and I also believe the God I serve doesn't need a Big Bang. He made it as it is. Please explain why Hugh Ross is wrong, and I wonder when they will do a show where you can be on and tell the truth. Okay. John Ankerberg has had me on there, I think, twice, and then he had me on with Hugh Ross for 6 programs. We did a debate with Hugh Ross. That is available. Did you change it on their website, Jonathan, the price?
$49.
Yeah, it was $78 for years. It's now $49 for the whole, I forget how many videotapes there are.
I think there's 8.
6 hours, I think, of video of, it's the Hugh Ross debate, and then the people that he mentioned in there, he mentioned Danny Faulkner, and so I flew Danny down here. I said, Dr. Faulkner, would you fly down? I paid everything, all expenses, brought him down here, sat down for the video camera, and we talked, we watched Hugh Ross debate and discussed it. he said, well, he was wrong. He totally misconstrued Dr. Faulkner's position. And I brought in James Sundquist, who's been a student of the Hugh Ross heresy for years, and had some just amazing insight on Hugh Ross's heresy. So you can get that whole video series, all the videos, plus a book about Hugh Ross's heresies for $49 on our website. Just contact drdino.com. So I'll finish your question after the break here. Like I said, it's an update draft process. Get that series, and that'll help you with Hugh Ross. He's a nice guy. He's a heretic. Join us, folks, after the break. Thanks a lot. Hey, man. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour. This is Ken Hogan live on January 13th, 2004, my second granddaughter's first birthday. Happy birthday, Kaylee Hogan. Welcome to the Hogan clan. There needs to be about 1,000 more. There's enough atheists out there to keep everybody busy, so we'll just raise up a whole army here, folks. Okay. More KOL instant messages here, and then we're going to try to get to our pile of questions that I haven't got to far so far. Well, here's JMK1611 writes, I was led to the Lord by a Reclamite preacher, and he gave me a head start on which translation is the correct one, King James Version 1611. I'm a devout Protestant of no denomination, probably in step with Baptist doctrine, except for two things. Number one, I think wine has medicinal value, as stated in 1 Timothy 5:23, and second, Acts 10:28, is related to Jewish relationship to Christian Gentiles and not a revision to the no pork health laws. What do you believe on these issues? Well, first place, I would say a Baptist would not be considered a Protestant. The Baptist would claim their roots go back to Jesus Christ and, you know, John the Baptist and the original church that Jesus started. The Protestants protested against the Catholic Church. They came out of the Catholic Church. And so I would say there are three of the mainline so-called claiming Christianity. The Baptists would claim to be the original. The Catholics about 300 AD started, and then the Protestants about, you know, with the Reformation. So I'm not Protestant or Catholic. Baptist. Okay. As far as wine having medicinal value, I guess I would agree. I've had NyQuil and things like that. I think the alcohol certainly does destroy brain cells, no question. But sometimes it is necessary. I've never tasted wine that I recall, unless it was the kid in the Lutheran church, and I've had real wine for communion once. But that would be as an accident. Certainly happens since then. If I did then, I don't remember that. Because I was, you know, small. Let's see. So, as far as alcohol as medicinal purposes, like, you know, NyQuil or something like that, I guess I couldn't argue. I think, though, if you ever take your first drop of alcohol, you can't become an alcoholic, that's for sure. My position is safer, if not, even if it's not right, necessarily scripture. Okay, secondly, but Acts 10:28, related to the Jews' relationship to Christian Gentiles, and not a revision to the no pork health laws. I haven't remembered the verse in front of me, but if I recall, this is the vision where he saw the great sheet coming down from heaven. He said, arise, Peter, study and eat. In other words, it's okay to eat anything. God didn't tell the Jews about the trichinosis of the pork. He just said, don't eat pork, okay? It's just a biological fact that pork has some, you know, bad things in it that can cause enormous health problems. It's also a simple fact that bacon and ham taste so good. So, I don't know what to think on that, JMK1611. I guess I think all things are clean, so there's no question, you know, certain meats are better for you and pork is bad for you, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think there's any reason to not eat pork because of some Jewish ordinance, okay? I guess maybe if you want to resend them a more specific question, if I didn't answer it, let me know and I'll work on it. Here we go, Kayman, K-A-Y-M-O-N, writes in, hello, Dr. Hogan, do you think time travel is possible? And do you think that a lucid dream is possible? Thanks. Time travel, I don't think is possible. I think that only belongs to God as far as the eternal things, you know, he knows everything, past, present, future. I don't think God is even in time at all. We are the ones stuck in time. Now, it may be I'm wrong, it wouldn't matter, it's not a big doctrine, it's not a major thing with me, but I just ask the question, and no, I don't think it's possible.
Well, technically, if I fly to my mom's house, I go back in time 2 hours. So,
you know,
I left Atlanta a couple hours ago, flew to Pensacola, and got here 2 minutes before I left.
I'm taking just some serious studies on this, submitted to an American
Center from Australia to Hawaii.
I left on Thursday, landed on Wednesday in Hawaii, and preached Wednesday night. I lost a whole day in there somewhere. So, that's
lucid dream. I don't have a clue what that is. You ever heard of that expression, Jonathan?
A lucid dream?
Lucid dream. I know what the word lucid means, but I've never heard that put together, a lucid dream. Don't know. Give me an example, and I'll tell you what I've eaten a lot of pizza before and had some very strange dreams. Maybe that's what they're talking about. You put peanut butter on the pizza? Oh, man. And you get technicolor dreams. Okay. Here we go. Kay from Kansas writes in. What do you make of former Secretary Paul O'Neill's insights?
Ooh,
and Kay, I have to play the ignorance. I don't know what Secretary Paul O'Neill's insights are. Have you heard about any
of that? No idea, but I'm sure his insights are just like everybody else.
Oh, insight.
Not insights.
I'm going to talk about investments here, John.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, give me some examples, I guess I can put my teeth into. But anybody that's been real an insider in the government and leaves probably knows a lot of things that may get them killed. You know, there's some evil things in our government, you know, and in every government probably. You know, I love my country. I fear my government. I think everybody with a brain ought to feel the same way. Okay, Mike C. writes in. What's up? I have three questions. What do you believe Bigfoot is? Well, I personally believe it's on the same level as demons. So what is your view? No, you stop there. Mike, I covered just a little bit about Bigfoot on video number 7. I've interviewed 10 people now face-to-face who told me they saw one. They all described it. They were all Christians, by the way. And so you would assume they would not have a reason to. They have a reason not to, not lie. But they all described it as the Clarion Andersons. Anywhere from 6 to 8 feet tall was typically what they said. Long hair, stink terribly, and could run like crazy. One guy said he saw one in South Florida. He heard a noise outside. He stepped out of his trailer, and there it was, digging in the garbage can. When he stood up and looked at it, it was almost as tall as his mobile home. He said it took off running into the woods. He said he would not have believed anything could have run that fast. Probably 20 feet with every step it took was his estimate. Now, this kid's a 19-year-old kid. May have been a little excited, you know.
He might have just got out of a lucid dream. That could have been.
So, I mean, I've interviewed many people who claim they've seen him. Honestly, I just don't know. I sure wish I did. If you catch one, I'll put it in my museum.
I'm sorry. That's a totally different question.
Okay, go ahead. Second, do you believe the Ark of the Covenant is still intact and ready to be used in the next temple? Now, Mike, we had a guy here today for 6 hours with his family who was just over there in Israel. We're trying to verify some of Ron Wyatt's material. But Ron Wyatt claims he found the Ark of the Covenant. It's still in the city of Jerusalem. It's buried there. Jews know where it is. They can get at it at a moment's notice. And they haven't brought it out, apparently, for fear of the political ramifications, because that may start World War III. And see, I typed the message into my computer, and I'm giving you the garbage can to find this phone number you've been calling up. You don't believe me. Here it is right beside me. You can call Gilbert Vincent. He's not home yet, but you can leave a message. He's got 6 kids, and they're traveling across the country to be home in a few days. Gilbert Vincent was here, and we spent hours talking about this very subject. His phone number is 800-850-7448, 800-850-7448, and see what he thinks about it. He was there. He'll tell you, absolutely, it is correct, the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't see it, but the Jewish authorities know exactly where it is, and we just, you know, when they get the temple built, they just kind of take it right out, knock a little stone wall down, and out it comes. Okay, his third question. In light of the predictions of the Bible has proclaimed that have come true. Why do people still think that it's still made up? From my view, God has a score of God from billion to zero. Funny how God seems to be more accurate than anyone else. But every prediction has come true exactly. And the fact that people don't believe him, I don't think God cares. This is it. He knows he's right. That's awesome. You know?
A lot of people act like God needs us or something.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. Yeah, thanks for writing. Here's one from Vicky H-E-U-P-E-L. Vicky, I don't know if I pronounce this or not. Hoopel. H-E-U-P-E-L. Well, I said that one day, I said, you're trying to get married, change your name. She said, yeah, that's how I got this name. sorry. I want to comment that, Vicky. Okay. Vicky says, I'm taking a class that is asking questions about star formation. They speak of it like it's happening all the time. On your tapes, you say that star formation is not observed. Is this correct? How can we know? Thank you for your response in the past. I pray for your ministry to reach more people, Vicky. Vicky, there is no proof whatsoever of any star forming in observable history. We see stars blow up all the time. It's called a nova or a supernova. About every 25 or 30 years, a star blows up. There is nobody has ever been able to see a star form. We see dust cloud formations out there, you know, dust patterns and stuff, like Crab Nebula and stuff like that. And they are assuming it is a star forming. they're assuming they see a spark where all they're seeing is dust. But nobody has a clue how dust can get together and make a solid. If they want to believe that, they're welcome to believe it, but that is against all the known laws of physics. If they see a spot getting brighter in Crab Nebula or Horsehead Nebula, they will say, see, a star is forming. The dust is clearing and there's a star behind it. Your evidence for star formation wouldn't hold up 2 seconds in a court of law with a reasonable judge. So, you tell your professor, I disagree, I'll be glad to come debate him on the topic. Nobody has seen a star form. And there's no clue how it can happen. There are laws called Boyle's gas law, which would drive the particles away if they tried to get together. The dust particles don't have enough gravitational attraction to even start the process. So I would say impossible. And scientists have admitted that many times. They don't have a clue how any star can form. Let's see, where is that? In seminar part 7, I've got a couple of quotes here you want to use. I'll open up real quick. About star formation, where they say, we don't have a clue how anyone could form. While my computer is slowly booting up, I've never got to put a turbo on this thing. I have too much stuff, or it's getting slower in its old age. Do they make turbos for these things?
I don't know. We can hook up a Hemi or something.
Yeah, a Hemi. There we go. Whatever that is. Hey, okay, here we go. Here's a quote from Martin Harwitz, H-A-R-W-I-T, in Science Magazine, volume 231, March of 1986, page 1201. He says, the silent embarrassment of modern astrophysics is that we do not know how even a single one of these stars managed to form. End quote. So, there you have it. Just anybody with a brain can admit we don't know how stars form. No scientific evidence for that. Now, here's one from Michael Droblyn, D-R-O-B-L-Y-N. Michael writes, and someone asked the question, frequently asked question number 8, if the Earth is only 6,000 years old, how do we see light from stars billions of light years away? I've heard it said that God made the stars in the heavens. He also walked in the Garden of Eden. Well, if God was on Earth, when he cast the stars in heaven, it would leave a trail of light from Earth for us to see. So it actually didn't take billions of years for just to get here. In addition, I called earlier today about a package emailed to Dr. Holborn coming to our church to do a seminar. Oh, that's unrelated here to the question. Michael, the starlight question is answered pretty thoroughly in video number 7 and also on my website, drdangler.com. The assumption, of course, is that the speed of light is constant and that God can't create a mature universe. I think it's been well demonstrated many times that the speed of light is not a constant, and there's quite a few articles on our website about that, changing speed of light. Did we talk about that earlier, Jonathan, about the book about Einstein Discover magazine 2002 or 2003? Article about the speed of light may not be a constant.
Today, I don't think we did.
Well, the previous broadcast, though, I think we did.
Oh, yeah, we always remember that we talked about the book, Fast and the Speed of Light, by Juan Maguelo.
By Juan Maguelo.
And he's Brazilian.
Or Portuguese.
Or Brazilian or Portuguese, one or the other.
So, and you speak Portuguese, so you can talk to the guy. Hey, or something, somebody. Somewhere, somehow, for something. Okay. Here's one from Daniel. Oh, wow. Tough last name, Daniel. I'm going to try it here. S-A-S-I-A-D-E-K. Sasiadek. Believe it or not, I took phonics in kindergarten 3 years in a row. My mother was a kindergarten teacher. Let's see, Daniel Sasiadek writes in, since God used the rainbow as a sign for Noah that he would never destroy the earth by water again, would the water canopy that surrounded the earth pre-flood prevent a rainbow from appearing? Daniel, I believe that is correct. I don't think that could be proven, but that's just commonly held assumption among creationists that I think is very reasonable. That probably rainbows weren't even possible in the pre-flood world with higher air pressure. Now, you may know the clouds, of course, don't form under high pressure. That's why the weatherman says, you know, the high pressure generally would be clear. Low pressure brings in the clouds. Okay, Marianne Watkins writes in, I'm going to take a zoology course this year at my high school. The teacher believes very strongly in evolution, and I'm looking for different ways to bring up evidence against evolution. I saw your video seminars, and I'm interested about where you found your information on the rate the Earth is slowing down. I looked on the Internet, but I found several different rates. Please send me this information. Thank you. Marianne, I don't know that you're going to get consensus on the rate the Earth is slowing down, but the concept is very simple. The Earth is slowing down. So, that's all that's necessary. I mean, if the Earth is slowing down, then it must be going faster. I covered that videotape number 1. As far as your teacher being a zoologist, you may want to call icr.org and ask for Frank Sherwin. He's a master's degree in zoology, a brilliant man, good friend of mine, great guy. and to answer any questions on zoology as far as he works with the Institute for Creation Research, ICR, good bunch of guys, in near San Diego. Here's a AOL message, Hammer 700 Wars. There's a name. Hammer 700 Wars writes, I know the humans never eat meat before the flood. Hammer, I got to save this, we're out of time. We'll cut it again tomorrow, and we'll answer yours first. Okay? Sorry about that. Tune in tomorrow, folks. DrDino.com or come to our Southeast Creation Conference, the boot camp for creationists, coming up September. Join us tomorrow.